With the Dodgers up 2-0, the World Series shifts to New York for 3 games starting tonight. But will Shohei Ohtani play, and how effective will he be? We'll break it down next. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Monday, October 28th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. Follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on the Twitter machine. And Troy, what a freaking series, dude. Games 1 and 2 of the World Series, just absolutely absurd. Game 1 was probably one of the most fun World Series games I've ever watched that didn't involve my team. 6-3 Dodgers victory in 10 innings, courtesy of a Freddie Freeman walk-off grand slam. Just the way that this whole thing happened, the way that 10th inning played out was absolutely wild. From Jazz Chisholm stealing multiple bags and scoring in the bottom half of the inning, or the top half of the inning, all the way to Shohei Ohtani getting out on the first pitch he sees from Nestor Cortez, and a pop out to Alex Verdugo, who falls out of play. Then they intentionally walk Mookie Betts to get to Freddie Freeman, and he just launches the first pitch he sees for a walk-off grand slam, the first walk-off grand slam in World Series history. Can you think of a better way to open the series, or a better World Series game that you've seen than that one?
No, man, that one was great, and just the theatrics of it all with Freddie Freeman against a left-handed pitcher launching that ball for the grand slam, and it was a fantastic game from start to finish. And this World Series has so far lived up to its hype. I do want to apologize to people though, because we've been hyping up this free taco stuff for a while, and they're not doing the free taco this year. So even though Jazz Chisholm stole some bases, there's no free tacos for the country. We're missing out.
Taco Bell decided not to be a sponsor this year. They've had it before, and then they took a break from sponsoring, and they came back, and the promotion came back. So it may come back in future years. But no, Taco Bell lit the whole country down this year. We all need to know that. We talked last week about bringing in Nestor Cortez to face these lefties, right? Having him on the roster despite having not pitched since, I think, August in a game to face these lefties. I know that you can't judge the decision based on the result, right? Like you and I have talked about this. It's a good call or bad call, no matter what, when you make it. But do you think there are people in New York, you know, on this team, in this club, you know, in this clubhouse, this front office, do you think they're second guessing the decision to go with Nestor Cortez? Or was this something where anybody you brought in was going to struggle with the heart of that Yankee, of that Dodgers order?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that anybody would have struggled with that order, but I also think that they are second guessing going to Nestor Cortez there. But when you look at what I saw a stat earlier this weekend, Freddie Freeman against left-handed pitchers with the bases loaded this year was like 9-for-14. And and they walked Mookie Betts to load the bases for Freddie Freeman. It's just, like you said, you can't judge a decision based on the outcome. I don't think that pitching around somebody to get to Freddie Freeman is ever a good decision just because of what Freddie Freeman has done throughout his career, even with lefty on lefty. But especially knowing that he's gone 9-for-14 against left-handed pitchers with the bases loaded. And it's crazy. And it was Freddie Freeman's World Series moment. And I do have to ask you now, how sad are you going to be when he goes into Cooperstown with a Dodgers hat now instead of a Braves hat?
I honestly think it'll be a blank hat kind of situation. I mean, he has, similar to Greg Maddux, where you know, he had great moments with both the Cubs and the Braves, and he went in with a blank cap. I think this is something, Freddie still has more career war as a Brave than he does as a Dodger. And as of right now, after Game 2, he doesn't have a World Series with the Dodgers like he does with the Braves. His MVP award was with the Braves. Right. I do think that At best, though, you're looking at a blank cap situation versus a going in as a Brave. Whereas if this was last year, maybe, and let's say his career abruptly ended, God forbid, you would think he would go in as a Brave. I think now it's at best, it's a blank cap situation. I do want to point out, though, in this whole thing here, it's a problem with the Yankees' own making, right? You didn't have to face Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman in the 10th inning. Will Smith flew out to open the inning, but then you walked Gavin Lux, and you allowed Tommy Edman to single. And so, like, you had an opportunity to get out of that inning without having to face those guys. And because Jake Cousins wasn't able to do it, that's why this situation even came up, right?
Right.
And so that's one of those, like, they caused this problem themselves. It's hard to feel bad about them for that. And it's a shame, too, because this was one of the only real great pitching kind of matchups that we've seen in the postseason where both starters did what they were supposed to do. Gerrit Cole, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. No walks to 4 strikeouts. Jack Flaherty, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk to 6 strikeouts. His home runs, his run is a home run to Giancarlo Stanton. And it's just like you saw a great pitching matchup to start the series. And then it just went into a bullpen issue. And that's where all your problems came up. I do want to move to game 2, though, because of the subtext of what happened. 4-2 Dodgers victory. It honestly didn't feel that close. It didn't feel like it was 4-2. Yankees picked up a run in the 9th inning to make it a little bit closer. Again, it did not feel like it should have been that close. But the big storyline out of this is Shohei Ohtani stealing second base, dislocates, it's a subluxation of his shoulder. So it's a dislocation of his shoulder, leaves the game. He is expected, according to Dave Roberts, to play tonight. How concerned are you about his availability and about his effectiveness if he is playing through a dislocated shoulder?
I think that if Shohei Ohtani can move his arm, he's not going to let Dave Roberts take him out of the lineup in any game moving forward. The team might have to sit him down and tell him, "Hey, this really isn't up to you. Sorry, Charlie, but you're going to have to watch this one from the sidelines." But honestly, so far through the first two games, he hasn't been that effective. He's 1 for 8 with one walk and 2 strikeouts so far. So he really hasn't even been that effective throughout the World Series as a whole. So you got to think that with a shoulder injury, especially his left shoulder, that he's going to be even less effective at the plate than he already was, because that's not going to feel good when he's trying to swing the bat up there.
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a struggle here. I do think that there is a route to you can't replace Shohei Ohtani, right? I mean, he's best player in baseball. He's literally the best player of this generation. He's taken that mantle from Mike Trout. And I would argue one of the best baseball players of all time, just based on what he can do on both sides of the ball at such a high level. Yeah. But to cover for him in the lineup, I feel like there's an obvious route here. Now, like, this might be moot. If it's just a pain tolerant situation, I don't see him not playing game 3. That's a quote from Dave Roberts. I'm not just saying that. Dave Roberts said, if it's just pain tolerance, he'll be in there. The question is going to be, to your point, how effective would he be? But if for some reason he can't play, I can see how you can fill the lineup spots and it not be the worst thing in the world. I'd move Freddie Freeman to DH. He doesn't have to do as much running on that sprained ankle. That moves Max Muncy from third to first. Muncy's not a great defender at third, so that probably helps your infield defense a little bit to get a hobbled Freeman off the field to get Muncy from third to first. You can put Gavin Lux at second. You can put Kike Hernandez at third. Kike's been perfectly fine. He's better than Max Muncy at third base. And then you just kind of bump the lineup up. Mookie goes back to leading off. Freeman bats second. Put Teoscar third and Max Muncy fourth. Like, right there. Your real big question becomes, do you want Andy Pages to play in center field with Tommy Edman at short, or do you want Miguel Rojas at short and Tommy Edman in center? So it's one of those things. It's, are you prioritizing defense? Are you prioritizing offense? What do you do there? But I feel like this absolutely can, you can cover for Shohei, especially if he's not 100%. Question is, do you choose to do it? And that's going to be the big question. We obviously won't find out anything about that. I don't expect Ohtani to take batting practice on the field. I think he'd hit below the stadium in the cages. So we probably won't know anything until the lineup comes out. But like Dave Roberts said, if it's a pain tolerance thing, Shohei's going to be in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Mookie has really stepped it up from the slow start he had in this postseason. He's got a one dot OPS now. And he's had a really good World Series compared. And so is Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman stepped it up in this World Series, not just in the Grand Slam. He hit a home run in game two also. And
he opened up game one with a triple. Like, he really did a good job with using that time off to rehab and get where he could play a little better.
Yeah, absolutely. And having those two guys step up along with Teoscar Hernandez, who has also been really good this World Series through the first two games. It's gone a long way to help, like you said, cover for Ohtani while he's been in there, but he really hasn't done much in this series.
Talking of a guy who hasn't done much in this series or really in the postseason at all, if you had to guess of all of the players who have more than I think it's more than 35 at-bats on this Yankees roster, who has the lowest batting average, who do you think it would be?
Probably Alex Verdugo, if I didn't already know the answer.
No, he's batting 184, actually. No, it's actually Austin Wells, right? He's batting 098 and 41 at-bats. But right behind him, or actually right above him, technically, Aaron Judge is batting 150 this postseason. He's got the two homers. He has only 6 hits and 40 at-bats. And we really, he hasn't done much in this World Series. Do we think that Aaron Judge can get going in game 3 against Walker Buehler? Or is this something where the Yankees could get eliminated at home and Aaron Judge could go out with a whimper instead of a bang?
I mean, if they want any shot at coming back in this thing, that he definitely needs to get going. Whether he can or not is a completely different story, just because of what he's done in the postseason throughout his career. It's been a struggle for him throughout his career in the postseason, and it's been even more so this year and in even bigger sample size than what we normally see from Aaron Judge in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So the question now becomes, is this just Aaron Judge shrinking when the lights are the brightest? And or because, I mean, he's shown us every year he's got well over a good amount of sample size to prove whether or not he can do it in the postseason, and he hasn't done it yet. So Walker Buehler is a good opportunity for him to step up, and he does have another opportunity in game 4 if he doesn't step up against Walker Buehler, because game 4 is supposed to be a bullpen game. But he needs to get it going, because if LA goes up 3-0, it's going to be a lot harder to climb out of that hole than it is a 2-0 hole.
For a dude that had such a great regular season, he's taken 109 swings in the playoffs. He's whiffed on 47 of them. That's a swing and miss rate of 43.1%. The highest whiff rate in the regular season for any qualified hitter was Zach Gelef of the Oakland A's, and it was at 36.4%. He went from a 30% whiff rate in the regular season to 42% in the postseason. And part of that is he's expanded the zone. His chase rate was second lowest in the American League in the regular season, 18.7%. It's up to 28% in the postseason. So he's dramatically expanded the zone. He went from, again, second best in the American League to at MLB average for chase, but way above MLB average for swing and miss. Again, 42% in the postseason. I don't know if this is just Judge pressing, what's going on. It's an awful look. And I still maintain the fact that we said on the show last week, in the preview show, if Aaron Judge doesn't get going, the Yankees don't make it out of New York. I mean, they're going to lose two of the next three if he doesn't get going. But speaking of whiffs, Walker Buehler feels like a guy that you should not whiff against that much. He hasn't gotten a lot of swing and misses in this postseason, with the exception of the last game he pitched. My question is, who would you rather have on the mound today, Walker Buehler or Clark Schmidt for the Yankees?
I gotta go with Clark Schmidt. He's had the much better postseason and the much better season as a whole. With Walker Buehler, you've seen those flashes of brilliance from him, in the last game he pitched, but he has not been able to put those starts together consistently and have them on back-to-back-to-back-to-back occasions, like you would normally expect from Walker Buehler. Mm-hmm. And maybe with his last start, he did turn that around. We will find out tonight, and maybe he will be the Walker Buehler of old as he continues to fight for a contract next season. But as it stands right now, with the body of work that we've been given this year, my money is on Clark Schmidt, if I had it.
Yeah. Looking at Walker Buehler's two postseason games, this has been absolutely wild. October 8th in San Diego versus the Padres. Five innings, seven hits, six runs, gives up one homer, one walk, no strikeouts. He allows a .318 batting average in that outing. He turns around against the Mets 8 days later in Citi Field. Four innings, three hits, no runs, two walks to six strikeouts. So very drastically different outings for Walker Buehler. But even that last one, three hits and four innings, a batting average allowed of .270, a whip of .144. He's clearly not the same guy that's been just an ace in his career. He's not the guy that had a .247 ERA in 2021 with 16 wins, right? He's not the guy that had a .262 in 2018. He's not that same guy. But to your point, you have to wonder, did he turn a corner against the Mets? Is he closer to what he could have been? But I still do think, because of those questions, you gotta like the idea of having Clark Schmidt. You know, his two postseason matchups, neither one of them has gone five innings, 4 2/3 against the Royals, 4 2/3 against Cleveland. Oddly, all four starts combined between these two guys have been on the road this postseason. This wow. Clark Schmidt at home, this will be the first time that either one of these guys has pitched at home in the postseason. But, you know, he combined in those 9 1/3 innings for six strikeouts, nine hits, four runs, but only one homer and only three walks. And I feel like if I had to pick one of these guys, as good as Clark Schmidt was on the road, I still feel more comfortable with him at home than I do Walker Buehler on the road, especially because the Dodgers have a very, very strong incentive to ride Walker Buehler as long as they can, because to your point, there's a bullpen game for game four. So it would be, I'm not expecting a ton out of either one of these guys, but I do think that Clark Schmidt has a better margin for error than Walker Buehler does, simply because, despite the fact that they have to win and the Dodgers can afford to drop one, simply because the Dodgers really don't want to get into that bullpen too early in this one. They need Walker Buehler to go five or six innings, which means the Yankees need to get after Walker Buehler early. And thankfully, Soto is going to come up in the first inning. If anybody reaches, you're going to see Giancarlo Stanton in the first inning, and hopefully you can get something going here.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Yankee Stadium, it's not hard to get things going, especially with that. Yeah, short porch. And especially with Giancarlo Stanton, and if Aaron Judge decides to show up and Juan Soto. But I do expect this game to have lots of fireworks with the pitching matchup that we are seeing. And it would not surprise me at all if, like you said, the Dodgers ride Walker Buehler as long as they can because of the bullpen mm-hmm. game tomorrow, even if he is giving up a ton of runs since they have the 2-0 lead. It would not surprise me if it was a Phillies versus the Royals situation back in August when Taijuan Walker was left out there to just give up 12 runs.
you got to wear it, buddy. You got to wear it. We're punting this game again, the Dodgers can afford to do that. If they get down late, they can afford to just let Buehler wear one to save the bullpen. I do want to ask, though, about Yankee Stadium. This is the first time Yankee Stadium will host a World Series game since they beat your Phillies in 2009 to win the World Series. I'm not an expert, but I think that that's almost a big enough gap to get a driver's license. Do you think that Yankee Stadium can give the Dodger can give New York a boost in this series, whether it's the fans, whether it's the friendly dimensions, especially with all of these lefties on the Dodger or you have a bunch of lefty options for the Dodgers, but do you think Yankee Stadium can give you a boost in this series, or is this solely the Dodgers have all the momentum here?
I don't think that home field advantage in baseball plays as big of a role as a lot of people think that it does. But with Yankee Stadium, it's even though it is the new Yankee Stadium and it's not the one of old, it's still Yankee Stadium, and it's still one of the hollowed grounds of baseball, and you have the bleacher creatures that are going to be loud and proud from the beginning of the game, and it's going to be a very raucous atmosphere. And I think that if any stadium could give their team a boost in this postseason outside of the Phillies, then it would be Yankee Stadium giving the Yankees a boost in this series, especially being down 2-0 and the fans knowing that the Yankees really have to win this game in order to keep it close and keep it within arm's reach of getting this back in track and bringing home another World Series championship.
One thing to watch here, and I just want this, I just want to say it on the show so I can go back and clip it if I'm right. Giancarlo Stanton has not nearly had the success this postseason at home that he did on the road. On the road, this postseason, and these are all small sample sizes, mind you, Giancarlo Stanton's batting .357 with a 1.383 OPS and 5 home runs. In Yankee Stadium this postseason, he's batting .133 with a .568 OPS. He is behind Aaron Judge in batting average, in on base, in slugging, and OPS at home this postseason. You know, Juan Soto's been good everywhere, right? Verdugo's been pretty good in Yankee Stadium. He's batting .385 this postseason. But Giancarlo Stanton, Big G, has not been nearly as good at home this postseason as he is on the road. And so if the Yankees go down this week and the series ends, I do think Aaron Judge is the biggest reason for that. But I do want to say, I don't think you necessarily can count on Giancarlo Stanton carrying you like he has this postseason, because so far he has struggled at home, with the caveat of very, very small sample sizes. All right, let's make a pick real quick for tonight. Who do you have winning game 3? Is it the Dodgers? Is it the Yankees?
In this one, just like we've already talked about with Clark Schmidt versus Walker Buehler, I've got the Yankees winning this one. It's a must-win game, and the pitching matchup favors the Yankees. So I've got the Yankees taking this one.
I also have the Yankees taking this one. I feel like this is something where they can't, like you said, they can't drop this game. They have to win this game. They'll pull out all the stops to do it. I don't know if they do that, if they really go deep into the pen and everything. Can they turn around and win the next two? But I do think that Walker Buehler may have another stumble, and if he does, Dodgers are going to let him wear it to save the bullpen for tomorrow's bullpen game, knowing that they're already up 2-0. So I do think the Yankees win it. I don't know if the series gets out of New York and back to L.A. Part of me wants to say now it'll be Dodgers in 6 instead of 7. That was my original pick, was Dodgers in 7. But I feel like at this point, it could be Dodgers in 5 or 6. I'm not changing who wins, but I might shorten the series a little bit to 5 or 6 versus 7.
Yeah, no, yeah, I agree with you. It's not looking good for my pick of Yankees in 6 so far. But hey, if they win the next 4, then I'm right. So
you are mathematically still alive. So that's what matters. I promise I did not bring up my pick. I forgot what you had picked. I did not bring mine up to rub that in your face or anything. No, but good. Either way. If you're listening on audio, do us a favor. Leave us a five-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so that you know when we drop tomorrow's episode. And either way, tell your friends they can go get daily updates on Major League Baseball through the First Pitch podcast. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.